the New Testament lessons this morning come to us first from John. 1 John 4, 9 through 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And now from Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Kids say the darndest things. A child was once asked this question. Why does love happen between two people? They asked little children, why does love happen between two people? Here's what one child said. They said, this is a 9-year-old. They said, no one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so important. Why does love happen between two people? An 8-year-old answered, I think you're supposed to get shot with an arrow or something, but the rest isn't supposed to be so painful. Kids say the darndest things. And indeed, today they help us begin thinking about love. We're in the second part of a 4-part sermon series on the gifts of Christmas. Last week we talked about God's gift of hope, and today, God's gift of love. There are 3 words in the Bible that describe love. You're familiar with them perhaps. One is eros, from which we get the word erotic. That means physical love. A second is philia, or philia. Brotherly love, that's where the word comes from, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. But the love word we focus on today, and which is at the heart of who God is and how we are to live in love, is the word agape. And agape love is God's love and the love we are supposed to show one another. Agape love is an unconditional love. It is an utterly unselfish love. It is never-endingly patient. It is always forgiving. And it is always self-emptying with the focus on the other. A high standard on human level, but this is the love of God. This is the love God has for us. Now, trying to understand the love of God as you read the Bible can be challenging. In the Old Testament, it can actually be confusing because in one moment, we read where God is loving and nurturing, but in another moment, a few pages later, we hear where God is calling for entire villages and peoples to be killed and wiped away. In some places, we see God as a rock in the Old Testament, but in other places, we see that a word to God and God changes his mind and gives people a second chance. In some places in the Old Testament, you want to live, you go by the law or you die. But then in other places in the Old Testament, God shows mercy. It can be confusing, but we understand that the scriptures were written through human experience, the inspiration of God coming to them, except it was through human experience. And so in their limited way, they expressed what they understood of God. Kind of like you and I do. We try to understand God through our experience. But then something happened. Something happened. God decided to completely and fully reveal his character and his nature. And that was in Jesus. When Jesus came, we saw in his earthly life how love looks, the agape love, the selfless love, the unconditional love, the always patient love. This is God's love, and we saw that in Jesus. John put it this way, you heard it read a moment ago, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. So Jesus' birth, we celebrate love. In that love, we today try and think about the nature of that love from God, because it is at the heart of all the gifts of God. Of all the gifts God has given, would you not say that the gift of love is the greatest gift? Love from God, demonstrated through Jesus to the point of dying on the cross so that we know it is true, and then given to us that we might love one another, is not the most important and most valuable part of your life? Love. That's not rhetorical. Anybody say yes?
Amen.
Okay. Me too. Me too. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God says, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God wants of your life, follow Jesus. Because Jesus is God incarnate. God come to earth to demonstrate the nature and the command of love. The scripture for the morning says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son to the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love came down at Christmas, says one of our hymns. And that love is the agape, selfless, unconditional love that we all try to live, but often fail. But Jesus lived this perfect life of love among us. And so we look to Jesus to understand how we are to love. But today we look to Jesus to understand how God loves us. Because there's often confusion and often uncertainty. So we think, for example, about the fact that God loves you unconditionally even when you sin. The word sin in the Bible means to miss the mark. Hamartia, it's an archery term. To miss the mark. We often miss the mark. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I have a feeling all of us, in one way or another, have missed the mark recently. We've done those things we shouldn't have done, or we haven't done those things we should have done, or we've hurt other people. You know your sin. The truth of Jesus and the gift of Christmas is that unconditional agape love means that God loves you even when you sin. There's a story of a pastor who got a phone call from a parishioner of his. It was a woman in her late 60s. She was in tears. She said to the pastor, "My son, my 30-year-old son, has been arrested. Will you come with me to see him in jail?" The pastor, of course, said yes. And not long after, together, they walked into a room where her son was sitting. The pastor later reported that the first thing that mother said, "It doesn't matter to me what you have done. I will always love you." Perhaps some of you have been in those places, understanding the nature of that love, even when sin has come. That is agape, unconditional love. And that is God's love for you. Even when you sin, God still loves you. And that's very important to remember. Because our sin often brings guilt and shame. And in the guilt and shame, we put up a wall and we pull away. Do not do that. Accept the unconditional love of God even when you sin. God also unconditionally loves you even when you doubt him. You've all done that. I've done that. You see what's going on in your life and in the world, and you doubt sometimes that God cares about you, that God is even there for you. You see the evil in the world and you wonder if God isn't off on a coffee break and has given up his dominion over this world. You doubt. People have doubted from the beginning. All Christians at times will have doubts. And it is no shame to have that doubt. But in the midst of your doubt, remember that God still loves you even in your doubt. Once a young college woman, freshman year in college, after about 6 or 8 weeks, she had a revelation. Now, she was raised in a church. Her dad was a Lutheran pastor. But she had this revelation that her faith really didn't mean anything. What meant something was the science she was being taught, the knowledge she was learning, the textbooks she was learning. Often this happens to young people when they go off to college. This young woman decided that she didn't need her faith anymore. She happened to have a meeting with her counselor after about 2.5 months being at college, and they were sitting there, and the woman said, "Just so you know, I told you when I first came that I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Christian anymore." Counselor said, "How come?" She said, "I now believe in science. I now believe in knowledge, the knowledge I'm learning here, and the bright professors who are teaching me, and all the textbooks with all the knowledge." Counselor just listened. She stood up and started to walk out, and the counselor, not knowing what yet to say, but then decided to say this. He said, "By the way, God still loves you, even if you doubt." And she turned around with a tear in her eye, and she said, "I know. God still loves you when you doubt. Such is the grace of unconditional love. And God still loves you when you wander from God. Wandering from God often isn't something we intend to do. But wandering from God means simply to get busy with other things, put focus and priority on other things, and next thing you know, you're kind of not paying any attention to God, or you haven't prayed in a long time, you've stopped going to church. We wander from God like a sheep. Sheep, as then in the Bible and now, are meant to be in a pack, in a herd. But every once in a while, a sheep will wander away. And you know why they wander away? They keep their head down because they're eating. They're nibbling at grass. It looks really good right in front of them. And then, oh, there's a little bit more right there. And they keep their head down. Next thing you know, they have nibbled their way far, far from the flock, often into trouble, near wolves or near a precipice. That's why Jesus told the story. Do you remember? There was once a shepherd with 100 sheep, but one got lost. And what did the shepherd do? He left the 99 in order to go to the one. God still loves you even when you wander away. And like the prodigal son story, the father in that story is God. And the prodigal has wandered away and wasted his inheritance and made a fool of himself from all the bad choices he made. But every day, the father goes out on the front porch and looks down the lane, knowing that one day his son will come back. And that one day came. And when it happened, he ran and met his son and welcomed him back, because the father's love had never changed, even though that son was wandering. God loves you even when you wander away from him. That's the unconditional love of God. And finally, God loves you even when life crashes in. When life crashes in, when heartache comes, when things don't work out, when sadness visits, when death knocks, it can feel as if you are in a plane on the runway. And you want to take off. But a great fog has come in and fogged you in. And you can't see anything. You can't see where to go. You lose direction. All you know is you must sit in the fog. But the truth is that even as you sit in the fog, up beyond it, the sun is still shining. And it merely takes time. Oh, yes, sometimes a long time. Until the fog lifts and you see the sun again. God's love for you continues, even when life crashes in. And even when sometimes in the crash you are angry at God or reject God or question God, God's love still is there and does not end. Katie lived in the Midwest. She grew up in 4-H. She loved her animals. It was her whole lifestyle. And then Katie got sick. She got a form of lymphoma, and she was seriously ill. Money was needed constantly for her treatments and doctors, and the family was struggling financially. And so the day came when Katie, who was 17, made a decision. She decided to take her most lovable possession, a precious lamb, and take it to the livestock auction to sell, that the money it would raise would help just a little with her care. The day came and she went. And many others came, because every Tuesday the livestock auction was there and farmers came to buy and to sell. And so Katie took her little lamb and took it up to the auctioneer. The auctioneer knew what was happening to Katie. Everybody did. It was a small community. They knew how sick she was. They knew she hated to sell this lamb. And so the auctioneer, when he began to auction, said, "The normal price here is $2.10 a pound, but we need to do a little bit better for Katie, don't we?" Some folks in the crowd nodded and said yes. And he started the auction. And it started at $3. And then it went to $4, and then to $6. And it got all the way up to $11 a pound, an unheard of amount. And the crowd was silent, and the auctioneer said, "Going. Going, gone." The lamb was taken over to the buyer. It was presumed that the money would be exchanged, the deal would be done. But the buyer said, "No, I'm giving it back. Sell it again." The auctioneer started again. "Who'll give me $3 for this lamb? $3 a pound. Who'll give me $4? Who'll give me $5? Money went up to $12 that time until the crowd was silent. Sold. Once again, the lamb was taken over to the buyer. And once again, the buyer said no. And gave the lamb back. And by the time the day was over, that little lamb had been sold 36 times. And $16,000 was raised for Katie's health care. My friends, that is the abundance and generosity of God's love. May you remember that and know that the greatest gift of Christmas is this beautiful, unconditional love of God for you. Will you pray with me? Lord God, forgive us for the many times and ways that we undervalue and underestimate your love, or how we take it for granted. So remind us this day, O God, of what Paul said, that nothing will ever separate us from your love. Nothing. So teach us to live in that perfect faith. that whatever may happen, whether we wander or doubt or sin, or whether life crashes in, always your love will remain, never to leave us. Keep us focused on that certain truth as we follow Jesus each day. Amen.